Okay, how many of you guys are ready for the word this morning? So, this group, let me just... All right. Shh. Okay. All right. Here we go. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. So we're in this new series called Unshakable, all right? In what I do, I see so many people that have been walking in their faith for a very long time, shook up every time there's a little aftershock in their life. They don't know what to do. Their faith has abandoned their faith. They have wondered where God is every time some little thing happens and their life is rocked by it. And they're unstable. They're on a mountaintop one day and they're in the valley the next. And listen, life is going to do that to you. Amen? Amen? But our faith should be unshakable in that while we're in the valley, we're still worshiping God just like we would if we were on that mountaintop and everything was good. Amen? Matter of fact, I think some of the sweetest, most powerful time in prayer, worship, come from those very dark nights of the soul. When we pour our heart out, right? We lose our voices on the mountaintop, but we find God in those desperate situations in the valley. And so no matter what state we are in, whether we are on the mountaintop or whether we're treading and tracking toward the mountaintop, or we're free falling down into the pit, we can still worship on the way down. Amen? That our faith can be solid. Our hope in Jesus is not ever shaken depending on our circumstances. That no matter what comes our way, to Him be the glory, honor, and praise. Amen? And so we talked about the unshakable, unfallible Word of God, that it has never let us down, that there are no mistakes in the Word of God, that when God said in His Word, it is finished, there's no asterisk at the end of it. It is finished, period. Amen? And so we understand that no matter where we are, we can always go to the Word of God and find out what is true. You know, a lot of times we can go to people that side with us, right, in our opinions. We can go over here and we can find comfort for those that can show a little compassion to us. But the Word of God is always constant, no matter what state of life we're in, whether we're in a good mood, a bad mood, whether we feel worthless, or whether we feel like a million bucks, the Word of God never changes. Sometimes I wish it would to fit my circumstances, but it doesn't. It's always steady. Its counsel is always good. There's never one time where the Word of God misses it. We can find hope, we can find rest, we can find direction, we can find everything we need in the Word of God. The Bible says that it has given us everything we need for life and godliness, right? According to our understanding of who He is. And the way we understand who He is by His Word. We pray prayers like, God, I want to know You. And we wait on this huge revelation. But if we would get in the Word of God, we would know His nature. It's not, we can never fully know God, but we can know what He has given us in His Word. Amen? He hasn't hidden that. And so because of that, we can thank God for the Word of God. The second thing is, this morning, in order for our life and our faith to be unshakable, we need to understand that there is only one true God. Amen. Now, I know, duh, Pastor Jimmy. I get it, duh. Only one true God. But you'd be surprised how many gods we set up in our lives. You'd be surprised how many gods we set up for comfort over here. For a God that we set up over here for assurance over here, the God of money and so forth. And we set these things up. They're not totem poles in our house, but we run to them when we need validated. Come on now. We set these things up in our life, but we need to understand, in order for our lives and our faith to be unshakable, we need to understand and say it with our mouths that there is only one true God. Let's say it as a church this morning. There is only one true God. According to Deuteronomy 6:4, everybody should be there by now. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that there is only one of you. There will never be another one like you. There will never be another one after you. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. In you I live and move and choose to have my being in the one true God. You cause me to be unshakable. You cause me to set my feet on sure ground every step, God. I can be assured that I will not stumble, I will not fall, I will not trip up, because I know that you and you alone are the one true God. And so, Father, today, help me to preach that and teach that word today with your anointing. And I pray, Father, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would rest on each and every person that is in this sanctuary this morning. God revealed truth supernaturally. God, I pray that the word would leap off the pages and into our hearts and spirits as I deliver your word faithfully this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So most of what we believe about God comes from our church background, our past religious experience, and less on biblical truth. Isn't that true? What we experience sometimes, the traditions that we have, or the thoughts that we have about, it's amazing how many times people think things are in the Bible that are not, right? Cleanliness is next to, say it with me. Where's that? Where's that in the Scripture? Book of Opinions. There we go. I could go on and on and on and on. One time we had a guy that had obviously been in church a long, long time, and he was a first-time guest at a church that I was on staff at years ago, and we sang a song, how's it go? He gives and takes away. He gives and takes away, right? Sing it, Dana. Go ahead and sing it right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It gives and takes away. But anyway, and so after the service was done, he came up to my pastor, and I actually had been standing there right there, and he said, Pastor, thank you so much for the service, but I have a complaint about the service, and that is, I don't like that you sing negative songs here. And he said, I don't like that you sing God takes away. Okay, God doesn't take away. And a pastor was trying to be nice. He was trying to be, accommodating. And he didn't want to set the guy in his place. But what the guy didn't understand is, well, God doesn't take anything away. And to be honest with you, what he was quoting, and what we don't realize, is that he was quoting the book of Job. When Job lost all of his family, Job dropped to his knees and said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. It's amazing to me. Most of us, again, what we believe about God comes from our church background, what we think we may have heard, Sunday school that we did back when we were in the fourth grade, or our past religious experience, but very little on biblical truth. And the reason why is because, I said it last week, is that we refuse as believers to study to show ourselves approved. A workman that does not need to be ashamed, but that can rightly divide the word of truth. Now, that wasn't said to a room full of pastors. That's for all believers in general, for the church body at large, that we are to study the word of God. As a matter of fact, I would also say everything you have rejected about God isn't God at all. the things that we are frustrated about God, really isn't God's nature at all. It is a religious thing that we believe. It's more based on rules, based on tradition, based on how we feel, and less about biblical truth. For example, it is people who go to church and do not show the love of Jesus. It's people who don't practice what they preach. It's people who are indifferent about the poor, indifferent about suffering. And guess what? Jesus rejected that too, wholeheartedly. He is the enemy of dead religion. It's amazing what believers actually believe in that are not biblical. And you've heard me say this probably 1,000 times as your pastor, but we are no more spiritual than we are biblical. Can I get an amen this morning? We need to find our spiritual being, our spiritual opinions, based off the Word of God, the one true God. The most insidious lie I can believe about God is that He is somehow against me. That God is somehow against you. Well, God just doesn't want me to have that. Well, God's not blessing me like He's blessed somebody else. Well, God is taking something away. God is doing something negative, and I don't like that. But what we need to understand is that is based on a religious point of view. In other words, that's based on how we feel. It's based on some past church experience, rules and regulations, but not on the one true God. The most terrible thing we can believe is that God is somehow against us. But if we'll notice that Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if you would look at that real quick, it should be up on the board. It says this: if God is for us, then who can be, say it with me, against us? If, man, that's a big word. If God is for us, then who can be against us? And the greatest of all proof that God is for us was proven on the cross. He loved you enough to die for you, and He likes you enough to spend all eternity with you. That's good news. That's the gospel. You know, there's some people, you know, as believers we say, man, I love you. I got to love you, but I sure don't like you, right? I'm commanded to love you, but I don't like you too much. But Jesus loved you enough to die for you, and He likes you enough to spend all eternity with you. That's good news. I'm not all the time likable. You ain't either. Let me turn over here again. This is the good news. As a matter of fact, this news alone, this one fact alone, will cause you to live an unshakable life and walk with Christ, knowing that God is for you. He is for you. He's not against you. He sent His Son to be a living example, a living sacrifice of His love living in human flesh, displayed for all coming time, that He is for you. There is nothing that He could have done or could ever do from this point on, from the life of Christ until this point on, that He can't do anymore. He has already proven it by sending His Son to say, I am for you. I'm invested in you. I have planted my Spirit in you. I was there when you were created. I love you with an everlasting love. Nobody on the face of this world has more invested in your life than your Heavenly Father. That will set people free. Amen? So here's the thing. God reveals Himself in a variety of ways in the Bible. One way of getting to know God is through some of the divine names that He has. And so I want to go through some of those with you this morning. So a lot can be said about a name, right? Have you ever looked up your name?
Yes.
Ever wondered what it meant? It's important to know what is in a name. When we found out that we were going to have our first baby, and we realized that it was a boy, we started praying and asking God, what should we name our son? And so we came up, we feel like God gave us these names, Christian and Joshua, and we prayed about it. A lot goes into a name. And so a lot goes into the names of God as well. And so the first name that I want to talk to you guys about is this word called Elohim. Let's say it together. One, two, three. Elohim. Don't get ahead of me when I'm preaching. Elohim. This means God. It carries with it the notation of strength and power. Thank God we serve a God of strength and power. He is not one of the strong. He's not just one of the powerful. All power in heaven and earth has been given to the Son of God by His heavenly and our heavenly Father. Elohim is the infinite, all-powerful God who shows by His work that He is the creator, the sustainer, and the supreme judge of the world. And I'm not talking about, yes, He created the heavens and earth. We understand that His power is put in display in that context. But let me just say this as well. He can create in your life, just bring it around to you and I where we live at our address, okay? He can create something out of nothing. He can create a right spirit within you. He can create a peace that you are longing to have. He can create a job. He can create a new marriage. He can create a right spirit in your kids. He can create health in your bodies. He can create something out of nothing because He is Elohim. Amen? And not only that, but He is the sustainer. So that which He creates, He also supplies and encourages and strengthens. He doesn't just create something and walk away. He sustains it. He stokes the fire. He continues to put His focus and His eyes and His resources and His infinite wisdom and power into your life. Not only did He create the Milky Way and the stars and every living creature, but He created you from nothing. Amen. And He will continue to sustain you throughout your life. He is the sustainer. And thank God, He is my supreme judge. Amen. We should all shout on that one. Amen. I am a huge target for judgment. Anytime that you put yourself out there as a leader, especially a pastor, the judgment that comes upon my life, you would just be appalled. And the reason why is because people think that pastors are, and you've heard me say it many times, they're this high and lifted up mythical creature that's supposed to never offend, never say any wrong thing, right? By the way, one of the reasons why I don't wear suits is because of that. This is how I dress all the time. All right? I do that because I am not perfect. I untuck my shirt when I want to untuck it. If I want to tuck my shirt in, I'll tuck it in if I'm feeling froggy on a Sunday morning. If I wear a suit, some of you guys ask me, where are you going after church? We are fallible people. And I thank God that He is my supreme judge. He is your supreme judge. That He knows your motives. He knows the intentions of your heart. And as you struggle, as you trip, as you make mistakes, He still knows that you are in the process. And that He is applauding you. You're trying. I get it. You messed up. Get back up. You can do it. I'm not judging you. I'm for you. Remember what the Scripture says again in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, then who can be against us? I watched a video recently. This guy, I don't know, he had it in his mind that he wanted to study all of these different kinds of religions. And so he said that he had converted to 20 different religions. Went through the process of conversion and just spent all... Why didn't he just read the books on it, right? Instead of converting to all these different religions. And he came to the conclusion that there's more than one way to get to God. And he went on to say that we spend too much time debating on the path that everyone decides to take to God, and too much time debating on... I'm sorry, I just totally messed that up. Let me reverse. He went on to say that we spent too much time debating on the path that everyone decides to take and too little time on God Himself. So that sounds good on the face of it, but it's hopelessly flawed. And it comes in direct opposition to the teachings of the Bible. And so for those that are not steady in their faith and don't know the Word of God, don't know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's an outlandish claim. But the Son of God made it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So if we don't know the Scripture, then what he said about, everybody spends too much time debating on the path that people decide to take and too little time on God Himself, people go, man, you know, that's very thoughtful. That makes sense. No, it doesn't. It is flawed at its base because there is only one way. The gospel is exclusive in the claim that He is the one true God, but it's inclusive in the fact that whosoever will. Amen? And so He takes you as you are, as long as we're willing to repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And so just to bolster that, let me give you some scripture that goes along with it. Look with me at Isaiah 43. 10 through 13 says this, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed I, and not some foreign God among you." Matthew 28:18, "Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me." John 14:5-6 says, this is Thomas. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus then answered, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." That is definitive. Amen? So Elohim establishes himself firmly as the all-powerful God that shows by his work that he is truly the creator, the sustainer, and the supreme judge of our lives. The second name of God is El-Roi. Everybody say El-Roi. El-Roi. Sounds like a southerner to me. This literally means the God who sees me. The God who sees me. It's interesting to know the back story behind this. The name was given to God by Abraham's maidservant, Hagar. Some of you guys are familiar with the story. If you're not, here's the story. God said to Abraham, "Your descendants, I'm going to create a nation out of you and Sarah. your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the heavens, as the sand on the seashore. But there's a problem here. Sarah was barren. She couldn't have kids. And so they were up in age as well, in her older age. And the angel of the Lord came to Abraham and Sarah and said all of this. And as they were saying this, Sarah couldn't control herself, and she laughed. She's like, right, I'm not doing that now. And so what happened was, they got to a point, Abraham and Sarah thought, you know what, we need to help God out. I think he needs some help. They forgot that he is all-powerful, right? All authority has been given to God. He can create something out of nothing, right? He is the sustainer of that. And so Abraham and Sarah said, you know what? I want you to take my maidservant. I want you to take her as your wife. And then we will help God out. And she will bear a son. And that's how we'll start the process out, because we're going to help God. How many of you guys ever tried to help God before? Brave souls. Brave souls. Never works out. And so here's what happened. Abraham said, okay. And then out of that was produced a son, Ishmael. And so Ishmael began to grow as a young man. And then all of a sudden, Sarah became jealous. And then God opened Sarah's womb. And then they had a son, Isaac. And then the two boys were kind of colliding there. And Sarah said, you've got to take Hagar, you've got to take Ishmael out of here. And here is the result of helping God out. You're having to make an unbearable decision and casting the mother of your firstborn child and that son out of the house. And so Abraham packed them up and sent them out into the desert. And as they were traveling along, Hagar fell at a well and just began to sob and weep. And the angel of the Lord came to her and said, fear not, because I'm going to create a people out of this young man. And my spirit's going to be with him. And so Hagar was there, and God revealed that he cared for her. And out of her anguish, out in a dry and desolate place, in a place of wandering and not knowing what to do, God revealed himself to Hagar. And Hagar named him God El-Roi-Iyu, which means, you are a God who sees me. God sees us in our distress, in that dry and desert place. He doesn't go missing or gives up on us because we are not at our best, because he is a God who sees us. He is a God who sees you. Amen? How many of you this morning need to know that the Lord sees you right where you are? That God is not wringing his hands and wondering how he's going to get you out of the situation that you are in. He is not wondering how he's going to supply and sustain you and where he's called you to be. He's not wringing his hands or staying up at night wondering how he's going to come through for you. Because he's El-Roi-E, the God who sees you. Thank God for that. And not only that, but he is Elohim. He is almighty, all-powerful God that sees you. You see how these names begin to stack up and come into play in our lives? I thank God that we need to know that God sees us in our pain. We need to know that God sees us in our struggle. We need to know that God sees us in our lack. That God's not a God that just turns his back on us and forgets us and turns it when we're pleased, when he's pleased with us. He is there with us, sustaining us in that dry place, providing power, strength, direction, and purpose. In a dry and desolate place. The next point speaks into that as well. Did you know that God is infinite? Infinite means without limit. It means with no limitations. He is greater than the universe because he created it. This is a picture too big for my mind's eye. It's like blows my mind. That he is infinite, that he stands above all time, all situations. Nothing rattles him because he knows the end from the beginning. It's kind of like I gave this analogy before, but it's like watching a football game that you recorded and you know the outcome because your goober friend spilled the beans. And so you can watch it knowing that even if your team is down by 20-plus points, you know that they're going to rally and come back to win. So you can enjoy the game. You don't have to get upset, right? You know how it ends. This is the same nature of God. He is infinite. He knows the end from the beginning. He is not confined by time or circumstance. 1 Kings 8:27 says this. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him. God is not limited to our circumstances. God's not limited to your sickness. God's not limited to your prayer life. God is not limited to your resources. God's got this. He's got you. He's got you in his sustaining, all-powerful, infinite hand that nobody can pluck you from. Amen? He's got you. He is for you. He is cheering you on, and he's supplying you when you are at your weakest, because he is the one true God. God is also transcendent. He is above and greater than the universe and has created everything. He has created the present. He is active in your future. And he is involved in the here and now. God is an on-time God. Amen? Imminent, meaning right here, right now. The Word of God is living and active, right? It's not a dead book filled with history. The Word of God is fluid, it is active, and it is flowing in our spirit as we hide it in our hearts. The Word of God will never let you down. The one true God will sustain you, hold you, and supply you. Amen? Acts chapter 12, or 17 rather. Verse 24 through 37 says this: The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by man's hands, and he is not served by man's hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations. They should inhabit the earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and their boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. So not only is God transcendent, which means above and greater than the universe that he created, he is also imminent, which means he is present. As I am speaking, he is active in your life. We need to trust it when we don't feel God moving. In my heart, I'm grieved sometimes because when people are talking to me and they say, I really don't feel God moving in this part of my life. I really don't see God here. I really don't feel God there. I've searched him out and I can't find him. Can I tell you this morning that is a lie from the enemy and it's manifesting through your emotions and your circumstances? God is ever present. He is imminent. He is in your life right now. At present moment. Amen. And he is ready and capable, the one true God, to come through for you. And lastly, God is immutable. This means that God is unchanging over time, unable to be changed. This immutable means fixed. It means set, permanent, and established. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. I don't change based on how you feel. I don't change based on your circumstances. I don't change based on your sickness. I don't change based on your lack. I don't change based on what's going on in your marriage. I don't change based on what's going on with your job. I never change. I am established. I'm permanent. I'm fixed and I'm set. And my eyes are on you. I am here to sustain you. But you have to come near to me. The Bible says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Amen? It's that beautiful picture of the all-powerful Elohim standing at the door knocking. He could have just walked right through like he did with Thomas, right? Thomas said, Jesus couldn't have come back. I can't even fathom that in my head. And so if he did, I need to see his nail scars. I need to see the wound in his side. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, here I am. By all means, Thomas, touch my hands. I love how Jesus is so kind-hearted to us. Even when he has said it over and over and over again that the Son of Man must suffer, he must die, and on the third day be raised back to life, and his disciples still did not get it. And Thomas is the manifestation of that didn't get it moment. And in that moment, everybody's saying, he's risen. And Thomas is going, yeah, right, no way. Look, unless I see the wound in his side, the piercings in his hands, unless I touch them physically, I won't believe. And then Jesus pops right into the room. And he said, here you go, Thomas. Hear, feel, touch, and see. It's me. And Jesus is saying that within our own lives. Test me. Try me. See if I will not pour out from heaven a blessing upon you that you cannot contain. But you got to trust me. You got to believe in me. Because no matter what's going on in your life, I never change. I'm not going to go off into the ditch with you. I want you to rely upon my word. I want you to rely upon my principles that have been fixed, that are permanent, they're established, because they're immutable. Amen? This gives a lot of comfort to me, because I don't always feel like I'm on the mountaintops. I feel like sometimes, when is this ever going to end? What kind of value do I have whatsoever? I'm the only one who struggles with that, I know. Look, my thoughts change, right? The way I view things progresses and change over time. Everything about me changes from time to time, but thank God that no matter where I am or what I think, he is always the same. No matter what. I'm so thankful that I can know God, because he has made himself known through the revelation of his word and the power of his Holy Spirit. He has made it clear that he is my sustainer, that he is my provider, that he has made it clear that he sees us in our times of struggle. He sees us when we're in that dry and desolate place, when we're feeling like we're wandering aimlessly and our future is uncertain. He sees us. Elroy E. sees us. And he sustains us in that moment. Lastly, he has made it abundantly clear how we can have access to him. And that gateway is Jesus himself. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is the gateway. No one comes to the Father except through Him. I encourage you today to get to know the one true God. Because in getting to know the one true God, our lives and our faith will be unshakable. Then those moments where everything is shaking around us, we can have peace that surpasses all understanding. When we are brought to the point and the brink of collapse, He is there sustaining us. He is there supplying us with everything we need for life and godliness. When we're going through the fire, He is that fourth man that is walking around in the fire with us. And our enemies are bringing us out and saying, I now submit to the Heavenly Father because you came out alive. And I saw that fourth man. And not only did he just make it out, there was no smell of smoke on them. Their clothes were not singed. In other words, they were untouched by their circumstances. Thank God we can walk through life that way. Yes, do we have our scars? You better believe it. Yes, will there be a struggle in your life? Absolutely. But know this, our God who supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory never fails. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I go back to my opening statement. Most of what we believe about God comes from our church, comes from our church background or our past religious experiences, and less on biblical truth. That's why in our membership classes, I go through 16 fundamental truths that we believe. And the reason why we believe them is because they're from the Word of God. So that means those beliefs are fixed. They're immutable. They don't change. And today, whatever your need is, Elroy E., the God who sees you, knows what you need. I don't feel it, Pastor. I don't see Him at work. I don't see Him at work in my family or my life or my situation. I feel like He's asleep. I feel like He's toothless and powerless. In this moment, the moment is bigger than the God I have in my head. And it's at that moment in our life, and trust me, those crossroads as a believer will come to you more often than you want. But at that crossroad, you can know that the right way is straight through Him. That in that dry and desolate place, He sees you. Knowing that, according to Romans 8:31, God is for me and not against me. And I thank God that He works for my good. No matter what's going on in my life, though it's painful and hurtful at the moment, I know that in the end, it's going to produce something in me that's unshakable, unmovable, and will establish not only me, but for generations to come. I thank God that He is Elohim, that He is all-powerful, that He has the strength that takes to move that mountain, to speak to that mountain, to be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. He's big enough to cast all of our cares upon Him because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He is Elohim. I thank you. Thank you, God, that you see us in these moments. Just as you did Hagar and Ishmael, you see us. And Father, I thank you that you sustain us. I thank you, God, that you're infinite. I thank you, God, that there's no limit to your strength. That you have no limitations, that you are above time. You surpass circumstances. And you meet us where we are in your infinite wisdom. I thank you, God, that you are transcendent. That you are greater, that you are above the universe. I thank you that you are imminent. That you are present and active in this world here today. I thank you that you are not a God that sits on your throne passively and watches humanity from a distance. Just to see if we're going to make it. But Lord, that which you have created, you have also set your spirit in. And Father, the high calling this morning for us is to push past what we see and rely upon what we know is true. Because, Lord, we're no more spiritual than we are biblical. So that means that all of our spirituality, everything that we believe about you, has to come from the Word of God. Not from folklore, not from hearsay, not from what a pastor said or what a church tradition is, but upon you. But upon you. This morning, can I have my board members and my staff, please come this morning. Just felt praying this morning, early in the morning, that God wants to demonstrate his power to you this morning. Just keep the music going, that's fine. But God wants to demonstrate his power to you. No matter what the need you have today, no matter what the circumstance is in your life, God can supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Whatever your need is today, God is not limited by that. Whatever your need is, I want you to come out of your seat, and I want you to come and allow these men and women to pray over you. Pray over that need. All I want you to do is say, this is the need that I have. And then allow them to pray and watch God come through for you. When's the last time you trusted God for anything? When's the last time you trusted him in your suffering? When you didn't know what to do, when's the last time you sought him for wisdom, for direction? This morning, I open up the altars. We need to spend some time this morning. Because the God that supplies all of our needs wants to show you and put his power on display this morning, that he is Elohim. That he is all-powerful, that he sees you, and that he is here, right now. So as I speak, come. We want to pray for you. Bring your need to the altar. Bring your need. Come on, as I'm speaking, come on. Whatever it is, come this morning. We want to pray over you. If you're afraid to believe God, let this be your defining moment. Step out even afraid and say, Lord, I don't know if you can do it or not. Be honest. But allow God to work his wonder-working power in you. Amen? We're going to open up the altar. Come on. I know that there's needs here this morning. Don't let pride or fear get in the way. Just come and let us pray. As people are praying, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to dismiss. And I just want to encourage you to be respectful for those who are praying. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that you are the one true God, that we can come to you, and we know that you will supply our need. We know that you are all-powerful to do it. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And I ask, God, that you would bless the remainder of the day. I pray, Father, that you would go ahead of us. And Lord, we thank you that you are all-powerful, all-knowing. And in that fact alone, we rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed this morning. Thank you guys so much for coming here today. Don't forget Father's Day next week. It's going to be an amazing service. We'll see you guys back here next Sunday. God bless you guys.